You want to mute, you mute all, but only unmute yourself when you're talking. Because you don't, you're going to get feedback if everyone's unmuted.
Okay. And so let me just, because I've never done this before. I'm unmuted.
Down
here? Down here? You're unmuted. Can you hear us?
Yep. Loud and clear.
Can you hear us? We can't hear you. Can you hear us?
Yes, we can hear you. Hold on here.
Let me go check if I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll just sit and stare at you, Josh.
This is CCI, and we had to talk really, really loud.
Out of curiosity, has anyone had a video conference meeting that start like this?
Oh my gosh, I know.
No.
Can you hear me?
I mean, think how long it took us to get used to.
I can hear you, Lynn.
Alina, can you hear me?
And now we have to.
I don't think they can hear us.
They can't hear you.
Yeah, I don't think they can hear either one of us.
Okay, I'll go in and pick their microphone. I'll be right back. I'm going to mute me.
That could be it. We could just not be able to hear because of the volume.
Here she comes again.
Here I am.
Hear us now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
The other room.
I can hear you.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah, they yell basically.
Yep.
Here now?
I can, yeah.
I can't hear you in here, so I have to pick the right. Can you speak?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Which one was that? Just out of curiosity.
Well, it changes arbitrarily. Started. So that's why you just have to start punching through the speakers and the microphones so you get ones that work.
Okay.
Lynn,
Russell.
Okay. Do you have another question?
I was just wondering if Keisha could hear us, but she's on mute, so.
You can unmute her. You have the control. Okay. You can unmute her here, but it doesn't, she looks like she's a call-in user.
Okay.
He get in, he said, I think I got it, but I don't see him on there.
Oh, there he is.
Oh. Hi.
Hey, Russell, can you hear us?
There's something in the background, though. I need to be able to hear something.
Russell, can you hear us?
No.
Russell, can you hear us? Russell, can you hear me? He's not me. You.
Chat.
Russell.
X-M-B.
You need to go change. We can't hear you, Russell. You.
Can you hear me?
Hey, we can hear you now. Hear you now. Yeah.
I was just watching you make faces. It was kind of fun.
Okay, yeah. And then I had the speaker on the wrong side. Okay. All right. So I think you guys are all ready to go. So I'm going to put myself on mute.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn.
Okay, let me print a few copies of the agenda, but this one is also available. We can actually take that out if you guys want me to get more copies or
okay.
Okay. Welcome everybody. To our first in-person / hybrid EDC meeting. As you well know, I'm new to the city of West Lynn.
Are you recording?
But I think my email needs to close.
Is our entire room unmuted?
Yeah.
Josh, Russell, others, can you all hear everybody okay, or do you need us to speak higher?
Fine on my side.
I can hear you really good, but it's kind of quiet for, okay. I think it's Elena talking.
Maybe we push that speaker, Shannon, right in front of me. I don't know if it goes through the TV or if that's connected or not. I might not. Okay. Can you hear, is that okay, Russell? Is that better? Can I talk a little louder?
Yeah, that works.
Okay. Anyhow.
Oh, you got closer too.
Anyway, so this is the first time that we've all gathered, like, you know, in person and on a hybrid. So we're just going to have to learn as we go. I think I wanted to just start with Shannon Eilis is the chair of the committee. And from, you know, my experience, what I know is that the chair of the committee is the person that leads the meeting. So I think sort of like let, you know, since you've been here for longer than I have, I will let you, you know, lead and guide the meeting, and then, you know, I can chime in. I don't know if you've all had a chance to read the agenda, but yeah, I think we could just kind of go through it and we're gonna kind of learn, you know, learn together. I have topics up here that, you know, I want to.
Battery 80% connected to WAWFBFBG and Russell's iPad.
Sound like
that weird. It's not as connected to Russell's iPad, so I'm gonna blame Russell for that.
Okay. what was I saying? I think that this is a lot of overview first, because there's quite a few new people, including myself. So I think, yeah, I think we could just kind of go through and call the meeting to order and help me along. I mean, I've never done it before. I used to work in planning and zoning, and I used to do the minutes, but we're just going to kind of figure it out as we go.
Okay, well, that sounds great. Let's call the meeting to order. We can start with introductions, since we seem to have new people.
Yeah,
that would work. We can start with me and then just kind of go around and then hop to the screen. So I'm Shannon Eilis, and I am the chair of this committee. I've lived in Westland for about 5 years. I'm a real here. Also on the Clackamas County EDC commission. And so I will share sometimes things from that meeting if we have anything of interest. I take this back there, so I try to cover both. Shannon, you want to go next?
Sure. Russell said he lost sound, so I bet you that thing disconnecting him was.
Oh no!
Can you hear us again now? Russell, can you hear us?
So I think that whole thing. I'm telling that the thing that came through. Him
was... And if you can, so you know his number, you can. Also...
So I am Shannon Knight. I am the vice chair. And so in Russell probably on the line.
Yeah, and I think too, just because I'm new, I'm curious if we can, if I can just add, like, what I'd like to sort of know, maybe like what your interest in the EDC is too. That would be helpful for me, just kind of getting to know you, like what maybe, you know, the interest in being on the committee is too. That's
sure. I was interested in joining. I think I've been on, well, it's been during the pandemic, so I think it's been 2 years. We never met in person, so
yeah,
around 2 years. And my one was involved in the community to learn how to support Westland businesses.
Okay.
So that's primary purpose.
Okay.
I own a business in Westland. When I originally got started, I was the president of Historical Land at Main Street. So,
Russell's iPad disconnected.
On here. And like to thought of and try.
Yeah. Great. Thanks for sharing. Oh, yeah. Good. Thank you. Hey, Russell.
Can you hear us now, Russell?
He does. I don't know if that's
he's not frozen.
He's not frozen. I saw the link.
Fire away, Josh.
Oh, okay. Nice to meet all of you. My name's Josh Cheney. I back up to Willamette Park right now. As of tomorrow, moving off of DBOC. So we'll have a different address here soon enough. I've lived in Westland since 2014. My one daughter goes to Willamette Primary. My other daughter goes to Westland High. This is my round of duty on the EDC. I'm really interested in seeing Westland thrive. I feel like some of the communities around us have done a good job of capturing and adding additional businesses over the last several years. And I'd like to see Westland reclaim some of those business opportunities and also see our community thrive. I'm also here to try to prevent Westland from becoming Portland.
Right. Yeah.
Steady, that sound.
Okay. Russell, can you hear us? Can you introduce yourself? And Alina was asking your interest in the committee. What brought you to join the committee as well?
Well, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Perfect. I keep getting this box that pops up and says I have a new device tested. And then if I do anything, it kills my sound. I don't know. I'll just stop touching the computer. So introduction. So I think Shannon's the only one that's been on the committee longer than I have. I don't even know how long I've been on the committee, but I joined it originally because as a business owner in Westland, I just kept finding that there wasn't a real motivation for businesses to come here. So I was trying to be part of the carrot that brought businesses here, create environment where businesses could thrive. My own selfishly is based out of my own frustrations of trying to find a place to put an office in Westland. There's just very limited space availability. It's a lot of it's just controlled by supply and demand. So that was my original reason for joining. And then through the years, I've just kind of enjoyed being a part of recommendations that have led to like food carts in Westland, for example, or the rezoning of the old Willamette area. That was kind of a fun project. What else did you know? I'm a resident of Westland. I moved here 2013, opened a business 2013. I'm actually opening a second location, just not in Westland.
Cool. What's your business?
I am a State Farm agent.
Okay. Great.
Congrats on a second location.
Yeah. Thanks.
Exciting.
She's a member of the public, and I don't know if she can hear, but I think she just likes to listen, is my understanding. But yeah.
Hi.
Oh, yeah.
I saw forehead.
Well, they did then.
Hello, everyone. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, I'm Todd Jones, and I'm your liaison from City Council. I'm very happy to be with you. When I joined the council, I had two primary things that I wanted to do, and this was one of them.
You.
Yes. We've met already.
I had someone full-time on staff that's dedicated to nothing but supporting our business community and being intentional about developing our economy. And so you asked what I'm interested in. It's not up to me because this is your committee, but one of the things I'm excited about, because I understand it hasn't happened for 6 years, was perhaps a spot you can get. Intentional and working with the LANET to develop an economic development vision and a concrete plan for how we want to. Sorry, this is more intentional about how we want to grow our economy. Excited to do that work. That's the work.
Thanks, Todd.
Hey guys, I'm Michael Berner. I grew up in Cleveland. I spent 10 years on the East Coast, and then I've been back here for about 4 years. I run a small family construction business out of Wilsonville. Kind of share a passion for some of the interests that a lot of y'all have spoken about. I'm excited about kind of entrepreneurship, like how can we have a dynamic economy, and then also how does that translate into livability, right, where we're in an exciting place. I think we had some rich discussions with Chris about that recently. More selfishly, the business that I run on behalf of my family is in Wilsonville, and one of the things that, like, one of the reasons I'm here is learning how the city works, and that gives me a little bit more comfort in some of the other situations that I've been in.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm John Robinson. It's I have an interest in being on the committee as I've been in the city, lived here for about 20 years. I have a dental practice in Lake Oswego, and three kids graduated from Wesleyan High School, or out of the house, in college, basically. And I'm interested in figuring out how learning how this development, not only development, but just our tax base works, and that we grow that tax base. And obviously, the biggest part of that would be the economic development growth. And I agree, we don't want to, you know, I don't think we're not going to have room for high rises and factories and stuff necessarily, but how do we raise the bar logically and in a smart way? And I'd like to figure out how to bring that forward.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Do you want to introduce yourself, and then I can go on because I have a variety of things to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm Pat Haley. I snuck in, part of the public. I sit on the Historic Willamette Board and the Design Committee and the newly created Economic and Vitality Committee for the Historic Willamette. And I own a property and a business over on Historic Willamette Falls Drive. And I'm a resident since 2013, live up, actually just on the other side of the hill over there. And I've got a son in kindergarten at Golden. My daughter's at Cascade Montessori. So I'm here just to kind of listen to the ideas and see if I can't take what you guys are doing here and, you know, project and leverage out to historical Willamette. Yeah.
And,
hope if I can at all. So that's okay. It's
grateful to have the connection.
Thanks for being here. I was on that. I met Pat this week, but I met with him and Rebecca down at his business, a lovely business. The Economic Vitality Committee is, I think, going to be kind of a fun project. I was kind of energized after our little meeting, because again, you know, as you know, but I'll go over it, this role is new for the city, but I think one of my priorities is to really connect with the partners. I mean, there's so many different facets and layers, but like how we can find a way to really collaborate and not like duplicate what each other's doing, but like work together. And so I think I've done so much outreach in the last couple of weeks, but like connecting with Rebecca, connecting with Shatrine, connecting with you, connecting with the business owners. And then, you know, I'm still sort of in the learning curve phase, but already there's some ideas about just like how we can kind of work together to really find out what's going on and like the entire area to do things that support the businesses, all the home-based ones, all the ones that are not actively involved. Because there's a lot of people that are very actively involved, but then there's a lot of businesses that are, you know, way out too, that come to find out after receiving my email, like really want to be involved. So it was really exciting to send out, and I'm jumping ahead here, but just to send out an email to 600-700 businesses and just get people replying back, welcome to West Lynn, I'd love to help out. A lot of people that want to like, offer services and connect. So, but anyhow, to backtrack a little bit, my name is Alina Schnarr, as you know, and I'm thrilled to be in this new position for the city. I don't know how many of you know my background. I think, okay, city council got maybe an update, but I used to own my own business for about 10 years, and it morphed over the years, but I decided to sell it recently. It was an e-commerce business, most recently focused in the non-alcoholic beverage space. And so I was selling a lot of mocktail kits and things like that, and it was taking up. But I decided that I wanted to connect with, I was starting to do some business coaching, and I was working for Clackamas Community College in marketing as well. And so I just said, yeah, I want to start to work with businesses a little bit more, especially during this interesting time, like post-pandemic. And this job came up, and it's just a great fit because I also was a zoning administrator and assistant planner back in Vermont. So I'm originally from the East Coast, but I've lived in Oregon probably third of my life. I was in Eugene in the 90s, and then, you know, I've been out here for 10 years. So it's a great fit. I'm really excited. I think my focus, as you can sort of see, because I sent you an update on the projects that I'm working on, is really with the existing business space right now. You know, economic development is just such a broad, you know, broad topic. And I think we're going to get success by starting like with the existing businesses and making connections there and kind of building trust with them. You know, really, I'm curious to hear too, like, what you thought about, you know, that list of things and council. I've heard back from council and the mayor, and, you know, I'm working closely with John Williams as well. But I think there's so many different things, but if we can kind of start with like little projects and sort of like have these wins and start creating some synergy, then we can kind of take on some bigger ones. Because, you know, Todd and I already chatted, there's a long list of issues. But yeah, I'm really excited to be here, and I, you know, I have a lot to learn still, but I think we can do some cool things. So yeah.
We're so glad you're here. We've been talking about you or going through you. So excited to have you here.
Yeah.
And get this going. I meant to throw out there as one of the interests of this committee is also encouraging equity and inclusion and encouraging a diversity of businesses mm-hmm. to come here, to be able to do business in Westland, whether they're members of Westland or having their businesses here. The food trucks is a start to that, but hoping to encourage that. There was an equity survey done. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it. And there's some gaps.
Yeah.
Gaps there that,
is that the report?
I think it was a report.
Okay. Yeah.
What, 3 years ago? It was before, I want to say 2 or 3 years
ago. The report?
Yeah.
Maybe 2019.
Yeah. Okay. We've gone through the introductions. We have public comment. Keisha, I don't know if you want to introduce yourself or have any public comment.
No, thank you so much for allowing me to listen in on this meeting.
Thank you, glad you're here. So the next thing on the agenda then is to approve the meeting notes.
From my knowledge, can we ask Keisha her last name?
Is it Keisha or Keisha? Keisha?
It's Keisha Brewster.
Brewster?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a resident of Westland, and I've been here since 2014.
Okay, it seems to be 13, 14, forever. Yeah. I came in 16. Sung a little longer than that.
What's your business? I call on Archbold Financial at the Ameriprise office for Texas Greenhouse. Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you very much. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So to approve the meeting notes.
Yeah, they were short and sweet, so I'll go ahead and move to approve the minutes.
Anyone have any comments, changes? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, so the meeting notes have been approved. So we wanted to go to the next thing on the agenda is going over the Community Development Code Amendment Working Group, which Shannon and I have been on. We're
done with the couple of 2001 stuff.
Yeah, but we went through the requirements looking at whether to recommend to council whether we should just stay with the minimum requirements for building middle housing. So there are duplexes, up to quadplexes, even cottage clusters. We didn't talk very much about ADUs. I think that's coming. Townhouses, yeah, anything. So not large complexes, but up to a fourplex. Talking about it's the requirements of the bill. And basically went with the recommendations, but
yeah, we went with the minimum package other than a little bit of a compromise allowance on detached duplexes, allowed for detached duplexes, and then for increasing FAR, which is the floor area ratio. It's very complicated. We spent a lot of time. It's very complicated. But basically, we recommended that we get rid of FAR, because FAR would, if we did it FAR at the current level of, which is 0.45, and they tried to build like a quadplex, for instance, in the R5 zone, or like an R, you know, an R2.3 zone, say, which is already multifamily, it would be a 300 square foot unit, and no one building a 300 square foot, no one is wants to buy a 300 square foot unit, right? So builders aren't going to build it because it's not, you know, any money in that. So we increased, what we recommended, it's going to Planning Commission tonight, actually. Or not tomorrow, the 18th? No, next week. I don't even know the week. I'm so busy. But so if you have any comments, if you want to, you know, get your 2 cents in, you can do that there. But yeah, so that's what we recommended, is getting rid of the FAR. And so 2.3, 3, 4, 0.5, 5, 5, getting rid of it all together, and that would allow, you know, in that same 2.1 zone, you could get a 600 square foot unit, which would be a little more reasonable unit that someone might want to buy, maybe a studio or something like that. And then do a 0.60, so increasing for zone R7 and R10. And then no changes in R20.
How many people are in this working group?
12.
Okay.
So that's why it was really hard for us to come to consensus. There were a lot of people. Yeah. So we ended up just, everyone kind of met in the middle. We still didn't have consensus. We had a majority.
What was really hard was balancing the needs of creating something that's buildable on a smaller lot. So that's really where we were kind of stuck. And she went with the requirements, but she said it would be something very tiny, that if you could expand that out, you could have a bigger unit on the smaller lots, which was really what the concern was. And then those recommendations will just go to the commission. I mean, they can ignore them, they can do with what they will.
And is it slated to pass, like, when is it all supposed to be finalized? Is it June? End of June, Darren said? Yeah, okay, because he's been chatting a lot, and this sort of goes to the next topic about how Highway 43 is sort of a docket project that will be coming, like, down the pipeline, and it's like, I got to get through House Bill 2001 stuff, so it sounds like it's been quite a project. I'm just getting up to speed on it.
Yeah, it was probably several months of just public outreach just before the even working group was coming. We were, 4 months on the working group, so.
I'm just trying to understand it. I think that was the biggest issue, was what were the ramifications of these choices? Took most of the discussion.
And I mean, most of people are just concerned about losing the character of their neighborhoods, you know? So part of the reason why we kept it FAR at the 0.60 for why, you know, I personally was against getting rid of it, was because you'd end up, you know, with a 7,000 square foot duplex next to a, you know, 1950s, 1700 square foot ranch, and then how that character would be completely changed. So now if we limit that FAR still, you know, they can still build them, but they'll, you know, it'll be a 5,000 square foot building instead. Is a little more reasonable to digest.
It's in a little bit better, we hope. Because I think that is the concern. I think, was it Russell or Josh said, we don't want to become Portland. And sometimes that happens. We've seen that happen where you have a certain style of a neighborhood and then all of a sudden this high rise in the middle of 1920s bungalow neighborhood. And so trying to keep with the feel of the neighborhood and be respectful of that. I think that's the biggest impetus.
It's like trying to get that housing in that we need.
Which we need, because we need to increase affordability. It's really difficult for first time home buyers or anyone who's looking to come into Westland and be able to afford a home here is really difficult. And some of that is just boundaries. We're landlocked or waterlocked. And so that is going to increase cost of housing regardless, but trying to do something to bring in more affordability.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting issue.
Yeah, I think too, as I was talking with planning, because this is obviously a big planning topic, that if the EDC becomes involved in like being a task group for the Highway 43 redistricting project, that planning, we'd have planning kind of regularly involved at these meetings with updates as well. And I think like that area is probably more where we want to see more concentrated. I mean, not to make a generalization, but like there are certain areas I think that could benefit from this bill a lot, you know. But again, I think.
Well, my issue with the bill was that it was legislator telling us how to run our city without knowing anything about our city.
Yeah.
And we have zoning for a reason, like, you know, human planning, we have zoning for a reason, like density makes sense near high public transit and, you know, near bigger streets that can handle the capacity. And so that's why I think we tried to focus on getting density into those zones where it should be, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of pushing them out there.
Yeah.
We might not have infrastructure.
Yeah. Thank you for the update.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone have any questions? Russell, did you have any questions or comments? Okay. I saw movement, but I actually think it was your cat in the background. So disappeared now.
That's my dog.
Dog. Okay.
She comes to the office with me every day.
I only want to say that it was important to the city council to have this work group put together to do this, because we had the option to turn to just the planning commission in the middle of this, and we were intentional this fall about wanting our broad-based work group to make recommendations to us. So I want to thank you for serving on the spot, because that work is important to us. So thank you.
I was going to have to build, I know people were concerned about having builders in there, but that actually gave very good insight.
Thank you. That was a good balance. Yeah. Moving on, so the next thing on the agenda is the Highway 43 zoning changes or an overview. And is that you, Eileen, giving that overview?
No, I thought Chris said that it was somebody else that you guys were working on that, or is that?
Well, this is something Russell and I have been working EDC for like years.
Yeah.
That's a puppy dog.
How cute.
Beautiful.
So, because as Russell kind of mentioned, there's just very little business zone areas. So if we could rezone Highway 43 to be mixed use, it opens up areas that we can put more businesses in. It's so disjointed as you have, you know, shopping center, resident, sovereign. So if you could connect all of that and make it so it's, you know, a more fluid business district.
Or just make sense.
On the second floor with the businesses on the
yeah.
bottom. So again, trying to get in more affordable housing that way too. Makes sense. So that's our dream. What have been working on. We finally got approval from council. Thank you to like let staff work on that. So I think that's something that staff needs to be on the list.
Yeah. Russell, do you have something to say?
Let Russell go.
Russell, did you have something to say?
I was just adding to Shannon's point that it doesn't make sense the way it's zoned right now. And so our whole thing was just making, you're driving down Highway 43 business house, business gas station, business house. Doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Todd.
Thank you. I'm probably don't have enough information to say this, but Christine Lewis, our Metro representative, and I know Rory, Councilor Bielasasi, have been pretty fired up about getting us to go after what's called a Metro 2040 grant. And I believe that's one of the things that John Williams is going to be chatting with you about, that he's hoping that that'll be on your plate.
Okay.
But for us to apply for one of these multi six figure grants that Christine tells us are really easy to get. according to her, she said, spend a couple hours and fill out the application kind of thing. But this Metro 2040 grant is the funding we need to do what you asked for, to take a comprehensive look at how Highway 43 is currently zoned and how we can rezone it. So I know for Rory, that's definitely something he's pretty fired up about sooner rather than later. So
that's exciting.
Yeah.
How do you see, if you don't mind me asking, if the EDC was a task force, like a group, like a working group for this project, how would you see yourselves, like, I'm such an action person, but like, what types of things would you see sort of doing on the ground? You know, I mean, of course, we need you working with Planning Commission and have larger direction, but just like off the cuff, like, you know, do you have ideas?
We started to work on, we started to work on zoning as a whole at one point, and then we lost our liaison, so we kind of got, and then the new liaison wanted to go a different direction. So we started to look at zoning as a whole and just looked at where we could, where it makes sense to potentially rezone into mixed use. So the other part that we looked at was at the top in Sunset where the neighborhood market is. There's a little pocket of a business area there and expanding mixed use again there, because the mixed use is a soft way into, you know, commercial. What we did worked on a couple of years ago was rezoning Historic Willamette, where 8th was mixed use. So we turned a bunch of 8th into full commercial and added some more mixed use to that zone. So we could again expand out on there as well, expanding the mixed use out there as well, because there's probably another couple blocks that could easily be rezoned. So they wanted us so that if we create, because there's no mixed use zoning technically, they're only for the Willamette district, but it's specific only to the Willamette district, so you have to create the whole mixed use zone. So when we worked on that project, there was a working group that Russell and I started here, and then working group was created by council. And basically the working group just looked at what kind of uses made sense that were, you know, low impact. So, you know, because all that was allowed before in that mixed use zoning was a daycare or a bed and breakfast. That was all you could do before, right? So we expanded, you know, offices, like, you know, as an insurance office or, you know, a small cafe or something where it's not a lot of parking or noise or any of that kind of issues. So that's how we were involved, is like what businesses would make sense in those areas. And then we had, you know, neighbors, there was a full outreach to neighbors, talking to neighbors and getting their opinions on, did they want this, did they not want this? Explaining the benefits to them from a financial standpoint. I mean, a couple of neighbors were not sure about it and were like, your home value is going to go up because you have two purposes now for your house. So that, and they were like, okay, then. All right. You know, so that kind of stuff is what we worked on the last time we did that rezoning of the Willamette area.
Cool. So, yeah, getting out and talking to people, which I think is like, it's what I've been doing with businesses lately. And it just, once I started to get out there and talk to people, it's just like all this magic starts to happen. So, yeah, it was, can I digress topics here quickly? Sure. Is that possible? As I was, did you guys get a chance to read my list of projects that I'm working on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking of this survey that I'm working on, and it was, I was thinking of this committee and sort of like how you guys could support some of my work too. And if that was also of interest to you, I don't know if, again, you'd be interested in kind of getting out on the ground or if you have time to do that. But I want to reach as many business owners in town as possible and just really get a pulse on where things are at. And so I'm working with Shatrine at the Chamber of Commerce and Rebecca, and I think we might collaborate on this survey. And then I've had a lot of people that are just interested in helping, including Pat too, said he would help. But yeah, I think, would you be interested in connecting with business owners to get the word out of, I mean, I'll do a lot of stuff through digital marketing, but then I think it would be kind of fun to maybe break off little sections, and I don't know how I'd organize the contacts and the data yet, but to have an EDC person, if you had time to reach out to us. Okay, sorry, that was just a offshoot that made me think of, you know, how we can get out on the ground and talk to people. Because I think too, we've all been working virtually, you know, and alone, and it's sort of like, this is an opportunity to really kind of like really connect and reach
Reconnect
people.
And,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Lane, I just sent you an email with a link to the metric on the revamp.
Oh, great. Thank you. Do you know, I mean, I'm getting ahead.
I'm talking to John on it, so I'm not putting things on your plate without the boss.
And he'll be like, wait, isn't that in the middle? Are they filling out the application now? When is the deadline? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I put it in there, just checking.
Okay.
Yeah, because I do think it requires a consultant to do.
Yeah. And there is some money already approved for that project, I believe, isn't there, Todd, on that council?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's some money. I don't think there's money for, some parts of 43 for the whole.
Yes. But not for that.
Fixing, but not for the rezoning.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I read something. Yeah.
Well, one of the projects as well, right? We've been working on food trucks, and we worked on the zoning for that, and that is in process in Willamette, which is fantastic. Excited to have that there. But also looking at that on 43, that would work with that as well. Space that is being underutilized, how could we do and create what they've done in Morgan City? There's such a vibrancy every time I've gone there, and there are people leaving West Lynn to go to food trucks and other places. So
you're okay with reopening this?
Yeah.
It is really.
That feels good.
There is a fan if I need to grab it too.
This is a good start.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so that is one of the other projects, but I'm getting the one off the ground on Willamette and then looking at 43. We kind of looked at, would that be a possible next location?
The other things that we have talked about a lot is so Estacada has a really cool tourism video. I'd like to see like a tourism video, funds for that. And if we actually have, you know, between kayaking, sports, and all that.
Have you seen Ben's tourism video with all the dads? Amazing.
Yeah.
What's that video?
It shows all their like skiing and water rafting. It's just an amazing video.
And we have all this.
And Estacada has. Estacada is smaller.
And they have a great video.
Yeah, okay.
We've talked about it for at least 2 or 3 years, but now we have someone that can actually.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a list of larger projects that I think are, I don't know if you read this, the March 7th council packet that has some of the ARPA funds that are for certain things related to tourism, like the brochure, Historic Willamette Main Street's working on a new brochure, but there's also this talk of doing a larger sort of directory of businesses. And John wants me, we were talking to Rebecca, but I think there's an opportunity here to think about something a little bit like more modern, whether it's a digital one or whether it's, I'm not sure what it is, but like, again, thinking about all these pieces, like I'm really interested in agriculture and the arts too, and farms. I'm like, there's all these things happening around here that.
Yeah, the wineries.
Yeah, yeah, to sort of, you know, it can all be collaborative too with like, if we're thinking about wayfaring signage and all these other pieces, it can kind of all connect. So I definitely feel like that is something that maybe, you know, 6 to 12 months down the road. It's something we can work on for like next year, but I feel like often the intrinsic sort of lifestyle of the community is already there. The fabric is kind of already there, and sometimes you have to just like look and sort of see like, how are they, what are they doing? And then bringing them into the hubs, into the, like, that's what I did in Vermont. There was this little main street, and we started to connect with the artists and the farmers, and, you know, all the, there's like little ways to build relationships with the existing businesses in town. So I think that there's some cool ideas like happening with, you know, especially with Rebecca and Shatrine, that getting these people that are out there in, maybe they do pop-ups, or maybe they do, you know, I mean, the farmer's market is a big one, but other ways to bring the outside community into, like you're talking about tourism. Mm-hmm. I haven't even, you know, gotten there yet, but I think that that's like a huge,
yeah, the businesses made outside money to
buy. Yeah. And I think
none of my businesses not survive.
Yeah. And I still need to, I mean, there's lavender farmers and things like that that are, you know, I don't know if people travel. I don't know if they're
pond up in
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Frog Pond is starting to do, I think they just opened up this weekend. They're doing they're bringing people in and having events for kids to come pet the llamas and things like that. But I mean, it's, that's a community event that would be great to help promote and support and grow. And we have a lot of little farms like that. I mean,
yeah,
the Christmas tree farms, but there's some of them have other, you know, they do pumpkin patches and other things that we can continue to support.
Yeah. So it's not just about like one little area or a list of business, but it's sort of like all these other pieces too. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we think about this larger brochure or directory or whatever it is, those people kind of need to be, you know, part of it. But thinking maybe about the branding as well, which that'll be a larger project. I don't know how council or John or anybody wants to work on that, but I think that's exciting too, exciting opportunity.
And along kind of the 43 kind of discussion, and I think someone else mentioned it, we also talked at one time of having, you know, Lauren or someone from finance come and help explain to us how businesses bring in money for the city. I mean, I know off the top of my head, just because when I first started on EDC is when we did a big street maintenance fee rate increase. So businesses pay a street maintenance fee for, you know, the cars that go through, and that helps pay for all the roads and stuff like that. So seeing how, why, because I don't think the community at large understands why it's important to have businesses. and so that we can understand from a financial perspective how important it is for city businesses and why we need to expand it. That'll go to, you know, why we need to expand the more mixed use in that commercial area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think too, like the business licensing, sort of that's my next project, but is to create a better user experience related to business licensing, but also, you know, giving value to it as well. Like why, you know, some people don't, you know like they even need a business license or what's the point, but sort of understanding, you know, what the reasoning is, but also making it easier for people to get one. And also I think once they connect with the city in that way, then that's the opportunity for me to immediately reach out and support them right away and give them all the resources. So my goal, I think I mentioned in my thing, is to also, yeah, kind of create a toolkit and start to get the word out that it's really fun and easy to do business in Westland, and we'll support you and I'll help you with, I mean, I had somebody in this, and language was a barrier, and he was in and trying to get his liquor license and didn't know all these different things and was getting bounced around. So I just went and walked with him and like went through the whole process. And I think, yeah, to streamline it and make it really easy for people will be.
Yeah, so I was involved when we changed software for the business licensing, because it used to be really terrible. Like we couldn't extract any information, and the way we went with the software is because it gave us the opportunity to extract information, but we have yet to actually extract and use any of that information that this can do.
Yeah.
So, and one of the things we talked about back then when we were doing this software is like if they could have a survey at the end. So after they sign up to their business license, take a survey. So we at the EDC have information on what they would want to see, you know.
Yeah.
And like it could be telling people like they're, especially if we have so many of the home-based businesses that I don't think anyone knows that they have the business center at the library, right? And what else do they want to, you know, they want to do. So it would be really helpful if something like that could go into that stuff.
Yeah, I think too, like right now it's like any new business licensee, you know, I get in there and right now it's just a welcome email, but then it'll be more automated. And I'd like to, I'm kind of a systems person, so once I get through the sort of learning curve and we get some flow going, I'd like to bring data to you. Just very simple, but each month, you know, here are the new businesses in town, and then they're going to be on the website or they're going to be in this Wayfair, you know, they're going to be, everything's going to kind of flow, but they're going to get asked if they want to, you know, help with marketing or those different, like a mini survey. The initial survey that we're working on is going to be probably a little bit bigger. And I was thinking too, I don't know the best way to do it, but maybe we go around the room quickly now. I just get like one input from you, but I'd like to have that survey done by the next meeting. And maybe, you know, hopefully we'll do most of it digitally and I'll get a QR code for it so we can get out and about. If people haven't filled it out, you can easily be like, hey, you want to fill out my survey? Maybe I'll have some paper copies. But what do you think, do you guys want to, if you had one question that you were going to ask businesses, like, do you want to go around the room and give me that now, or do you want to send it to me an email? I'm not sure really if there's a protocol for doing that, but I am kind of curious of what your pulse on that would be, because I'm asking Rebecca and Shatrine, and, you know, I'm out there talking to business owners. I already have a sense of some of the needs already, which I think I'll then bring back to you the results and stuff, but I don't know. What do you think?
Why don't you allow people to suggest things right now if they wish, but also have some time to
think about it.
You know.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
I could send a follow-up email too and just say, hey, you know.
Good. You should.
Yeah. Okay.
Just to say if you do it by email, you just have to remember not to do reply all. You need to only email currently, so that it doesn't create a serial meeting.
That's what I was thinking. I'm not sure.
Just email it by emailing everyone.
Okay. Yeah, because then it becomes like a public record issue. Or not public record, but we're actually having a meeting is what they're saying. Okay. Thanks for that reminder.
Does anyone have any ideas now? Any suggestions?
I'll speak louder so you guys can hear me. It seems like if the lever that we can pull is zoning, that the folks who are going to respond to us pulling that lever are the folks who own the real estate or can redevelop real estate. So if that's our action, I guess one question I have is, should we be talking to the folks who own the existing commercial real estate or own the lots that can redevelop into mixed use? And so I guess that's one question. Will we get the same type of information? And I'm not saying that's the only source of information, but I think that may be a source of information in addition to the businesses, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Within the city. And then this, I guess the second just kind of question area that I have is there's just been a lot of discussion around what services is the city providing to support those businesses, and kind of on the kind of question of equity, what if we're spending money to support businesses, to what extent are we kind of picking winners or losers and allocating funds to things that maybe are cute or that we like versus are we really trying to grow tax base? And so I guess, and that's more a question of like, what is the outcome that we're really trying to achieve? Because if we're saying we want to drive tax base, that may come to a different conclusion than if we're trying to drive livability or something like that. So I think those are kind of just two question areas that are in my mind. I know that's not distilled into a specific question, but on the start.
No, and I think you're kind of that's kind of in like more of the zoning and the bigger, that's like in the bigger picture as opposed to finding, I guess, I guess that might be sort of like a tier two in my mind of kind of like getting that information. I'm not sure.
What's the intent? So what you're looking for is questions that will go on a survey to the businesses?
Yeah, mine is sort of, like the existing businesses. I just want to get a pulse on sort of how to support them, like, with, resources and, getting information to them, marketing. But I guess, I think you just offer a larger conversation, which is good. I just haven't really thought about it in this, I don't want to overwhelm people too. So maybe there's like different varieties of surveys that happen too. Do you know what I mean? Like what you're talking about, whether it's.
I think you need to at least the very least separate brick and mortar businesses from home-based businesses,
yeah,
because they have completely different needs. You know, the brick and mortars are going to have rents that nobody else has, and the needs are completely different. Like, if you'd like to say what the biggest obstacle is, it's probably
rent. That's what I would say. Yeah.
Versus that's not going to be big. So, and all these other surveys that were done when I started this, it was really hard to digest that information because you have so many home-based businesses that would respond,
yeah,
and it's just not relevant information to the.
Yeah. And there is a way to do it digitally where you can sort of, if are you home based, and if they say yes, then they just get like a few questions, yeah, that are pertinent to them. And so I like what you're saying. It's just a whole, I hadn't really thought about it in this sort of first initial. It's like, there's just all sorts of different groups out there, and they're gonna be asked different questions too, I think. I mean, you're talking about like getting to know where developable properties are.
And I guess like even on, so in two separate things, I shared, yep, two things at once, which was probably confusing. On the issue of the developable properties, the way that I would think about that is we probably have like decent GIS data, right? So somewhere. And that's probably a different data set than the business licenses. And so with that GIS data, it's like, hey, who owns the real estate? And it's probably, yeah, a whole bunch of LLCs, and we can just go rank order them. Right, and the top five who own the most square feet are the five that I think would be good to go and meet with and say, hey, we're looking at creating the most exciting economic development that's ever happened, in the state of Oregon. What would get you excited about creating incredible space on this square footage where you can go from 100 or 200 bucks a foot to 500, yeah, bucks a foot, right, in terms of value?
And I think that in my mind, because I see that like working on with the maps people to get this inventory, because a lot of people, we need to have that accessible to people, like on the website or to call me, or even the chamber says, oh, I need to know like what's available, what's developable. But that's sort of like its own separate project too, and like 100%. And it could be working, like it's just getting my brain going in exciting ways, but it's just like stay focused. And I think too, I wasn't clear, like you don't know what survey I'm talking about. You're like, I mean, that's the thing with economic development, it's so broad and, yeah, huge. I'm more just like, let's get out to the people and see like how I can help with the first actual. But that's like a that's like a next tier one, I think. That's, yeah, really.
And so those are the two thoughts. So yeah, one, yeah, is talking to like those real estate folks. And I think even if you started with the top five, I think we would learn something. Totally separate scope. Regarding the survey, I think that's my second point of what's really important is us figuring out what outcome we're actually trying to achieve. So here's an example. Like, are we trying to drive just like higher per capita income within the city? Are we trying to build tax base? And whatever, and it could be like eight different things. But I think that will drive some of the questions that we want to ask.
Yeah.
Right? Because if we don't have those outcomes in mind, we're going to ask, like, what would you guys like? And what we're going to get back is the folks who are willing to, like, fill out surveys, right, are going to say their thing. And that those folks may not even be the right demographic, or it'll be a subset of the most, like,
yeah,
vocal people. It may not actually drive whatever those outcomes are, or all of the outcomes.
Yeah. And I have to think it through. Again, it's so... there can be multiple surveys that go out at different times too, or we're targeting different people. Again, if they answer a certain thing, then they, I don't know, I don't want to overcomplicate it yet because I haven't thought it through. It might just be like there's a marketing one, there's this that's for resources, and then this is related to other pieces. But Todd, go ahead.
Thank you. I want to thank Michael for the point you just raised. I didn't understand it the first way, but I understand it, I think, now. And I appreciate what you're doing because you're backing us up and having us think about, you know, why are we doing this, not just what do we want to do. Your formal title, I think, is really telling, because we refer to Alina as the business support and economic development coordinator. And I recognize in myself, sometimes I'm looking through one lens or the other. And the first questions that popped in my head, I recognized as you were speaking just then, they were more business support questions, as in talk to the existing businesses and say, how are things going? What do you need? What you just alluded to are economic development questions. Yeah, what's it going to take to get you excited about wanting to develop this property?
Yes.
And so I just want us to constantly be aware of which hat we're wearing when we have conversations. Because we have business support obligations that we want to do, and we also have economic development. Now, the name of the committee is economic development, but we're often talking about business support.
Yeah, and I appreciate that clarification, because I will say that the position is pretty, can be overwhelming at times when you look at all these topics, and, like, you know, and I don't know if you sort of saw my first straight chunk, these are all sort of guided by my supervisor, and because, like, these are sort of first 6 month strategy. So I think it is a very important clarification, because I often just think I'm in this business support mode right now, and I think I will be for the next, like, while. And I think, but what you're saying is bigger picture and really important, like, as we start to talk about Highway 43 zoning and we work with the planning department on things like these, are because I need all their support. I need support from every department, and people have time for me sometimes, but to get maps, to get the inventory, to get these, to, you know, the planning manager is like, I'll get you a list of people that own developable property, because there isn't much of it. And then maybe that's a project where let's get out and meet them. Let's get the list. And that's another, that sounds like something that maybe you guys would be able to help with too. Again, we can't, I think it's easy to take on a lot too. And so my goal is to sort of, like, stay focused and just, like, see what we can do, like, in the short term, and then maybe take on bigger projects. Cause I don't know.
Well, I mean,
we can get all over the place.
For your survey though, would be for a property owner too. Mm-hmm. That would be helpful to know how many businesses, like, depends on, like, business and property.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, can the survey could potentially go to people who aren't business owners if they had opinions about things, but that might be another survey. I don't know. Again, you could curate it. So, do you own a business? No, then maybe there's just a couple questions that they want to answer related to that. But you have to be careful. It's like, I don't want to take on, like, this, you know, create this massive, confusing survey. I don't know. What do you think? What, as a business owner, what would you want to be?
Well, I really want to get this out to follow up on Michael's question. Like, if I was a property developer and you now had a rezoning opportunity to create all this amazing space, right? Wouldn't it be awesome to get data from the city that said, like, this is what residents are looking for, this is what attracts other, like, what made Lake Oswego's development so successful? Like, why was that so immediately filled up, right? And imagine if you took that information to a developer and said, hey, look at, this is what our town is asking for. We're going to rezone it. And if you develop it this way, this is kind of the success you're going to have. So it kind of ties into the survey too, because now you can get input from the community and see what they're looking for.
So it's said another way though. So I like that train of thought. Ask the business, and we're going back to economic development a little bit, but ask the business owners, what type of space do you want, right? Like, what does that look like? And if we can visually imagine that, the business owners can imagine, this is the place that I want to be a part of, that's powerful information. And I don't know if I translate that into a question.
That's all right. And I think, you know, I may get a survey out, I may not have all the perfect questions right away, but we can do another. I mean, there's no reason we can't do another one. The CRM I'm building is going to be a real resource that's much higher level than CitizenServe, where we can also add notes or add tags, you know, property owner, chamber member, part of historical land, Main Street, or whatever those things are, and then we can maybe can actually segment and ask specific questions. So once I kind of get a handle on like the bigger picture and getting everybody included and like finding them and getting them on a map, I think then we really like, it'd be really fun to like get a map in here and once pull up the GIS and start to like look at, okay, maybe there's an inventory that I have ready, and we start to like, okay, I don't know, get a sort of visual of like who's out there, and then start to get those kinds of questions going. Does that make sense?
It does. Time to do it.
No, it's okay. You can finish, and then we'll go to him.
I've taken a lot of their time. Okay. I think we should go to Josh.
Okay. Go ahead, Josh.
I think everybody's making good points. When I was part of the EDC in 2015, there was actually an economic opportunities analysis that was conducted. It was extremely thorough. I'm happy to email that to all of you. It's a lengthy document. I can share kind of some of the recommended business clusters. Now, 7 years ago, I'm sure things have changed fairly dramatically with COVID and just population swings, but they're like clearly defined based on, I think it was like a $25,000 study that was conducted that Westland paid for, that goes through kind of from a macro level down to our general population and really what businesses looked like at the time and where there were opportunities to fill in gaps, where I think healthcare services was at the top. I think there was talk of hotels, recreation and sports was like a big component too. So anyways, I'm happy to share that out, and maybe that can help us shortcut some of these surveys and elements like that, and maybe help us fine tune like based off this study. And if there's a more recent one, I'd love to dig into that. But what did things look like? And then maybe more specifically to this group, the gentleman that owns a dental practice, I apologize, I did not catch your name.
John.
But okay, thank you, John. Like, yeah, perfect example, right? You're a test bed for this. Why, what could Westland do to bring your dental practice to Westland, right? Why is it in Lake Oswego?
You asking that rhetorically or
literally? I mean, I think we can speak hypothetically, right? But like, I think like you're a citizen of Westland, like surely it'd be a lot easier commute for you if you could drive a mile to your business instead of down 43 and fight with everybody else that goes out there in the mornings.
Well, for example, I'm in Lakeview Village, which is down in State and A. That opened 20 years ago. I was the first one to sign the lease there in that whole dang building because I'd been looking for property to buy in Lake Oswego, frankly. And when they said I could have a 2,000 square foot building and have six parking spots, that wasn't going to work. And so when they opened up this, you know, it's parking almost, you know, eight, 10 spots and all that city parking. So stuff like that's a big deal, you know, where I am. And we don't have that. So, you know, I'm just really quickly, I think we have opportunities here to use that survey. Why copy Genius? Who's our liaison to Lake Oswego to find out in the bigger cities? My friend Brian in Salt Lake City worked for the mayor. He was the mayor's right hand person. The mayor was the political person. He was the city
chief of staff.
Yeah, chief of staff. And he used to always go to two cities that were bigger than Salt Lake City, and that were Portland and Calgary. They seemed to have it together. And every other month they rotate, go there and see what they're doing. And some of the stuff you see in Salt Lake City, pre-Olympics, highways, light rail, was all him 20 years ago. And so, you know, we have Oregon City that seems to be on the rise, and it'd be interesting to find out who's kind of what their spark is. And Lake Oswego, because, you know, Judy Hammerly was the mayor of Lake Oswego. She lives here in Merrillhurst. I mean, she was one who was with Metro, and, you know, we could have invite her to, well, she's still going, you know, stuff like that. Coffee Genius. Sorry, I didn't mean that you'd say late.
But that was an excellent point.
Yes,
that's what you were asking.
That's right.
Parking.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I mean, something as simple as that can sway someone one way or the other. Great ideas. Justin, did you say everything you were thinking about? I didn't want to.
I did. I'm going to send you out the study right now. But yes, I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Thank you for the study.
Russell, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I was just thinking that if you came up to me as a business owner and said, what can the city do to support me? I'd probably look at you with a blank stare. And not because there aren't things that I could help, but most of the time when I talk to other business owners, they don't understand the limitations what the city can influence. Like, I want Highway 43 repaired. Well, that's great. It's a state highway. The city can't do that. I want to pay lower rents. Great. That's a landlord thing. City can't do that. I mean, things like that, the city can't influence. So I'm sitting here thinking all these great ideas. We're going to go ask businesses and developers and what can we do to get them to spur that kind of thing. But in the city of Westland, we're just shy of 30,000 people. You can't buy anything bigger than a bag of dog food. You can't die here. You can't be born here. What do most people leave for? What are they most commonly leaving for? And patronizing, what kind of businesses are they patronizing? What do they have to leave Westland to patronize? And then focus our questions on those of our citizens and then develop our codes to attract those kinds of businesses to the city. It seems if we start with the businesses, what do you want to be here? Well, I want a customer base. What do the customers want? That's just that. That's the thing that I kept thinking the whole time.
Thank you. And I agree, Russell, with your comment that because I get like surveys from the city of Wilsonville, and we have quite a few folks, right, that work for us within the city, and I never answer them. Right, because it's like all that I want is protect my property rights. Like, in all honesty, like, protect my property rights, follow state and federal law, like, do not inadvertently condemn some of my property. And other than that, like, that's all I need from the city of Wilsonville, like, right now. And some of that's because, like, we're doing better than them because their economic coordinator person, I think, left.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I feel like in the short time I've just been out there chatting with a bunch of business owners and learning, and this is actually sort of something on my list where people are struggling with staffing and employment. And I think it's probably my business support hat is what's on right now. And so, like, it's more what resources can I get them to post pandemic, you know. Well, got the grant out the door, which is great. I have 20 applications in like 5 days, which is great. And I think we'll get many more, but it's like this gentleman that I just talked to yesterday, he doesn't really know where to go. Like he can't find staffing. He's trying to keep afloat. He doesn't have time, you know? So it's like, what kind of things does he need? And so I gave him a couple of little tips right away where it's like, just if maybe every month a business owner is getting like an update or a newsletter, and like, these are the things that can help support you. And when I say it, I know it's a very broad topic, but I think of like, you know, marketing help or giving them grant resources or, you know, those types of things for our existing businesses, I think would be helpful. But yeah, these other issues, I think tourism is a really big one. You know, I think that's like
I said, you need the outside dollars. All these businesses need outside dollars to survive. They can't survive with what, you know, just Westland gives them.
Yeah.
And that, and especially when Westland doesn't continue to support local. I mean, it's getting better. But I used to run a farmer's market. And so the only thing I would hear from vendors is Westland is the worst market to ever come to. People just come and sample and don't buy anything. And so you have people that don't buy locally. And so we can't change the citizens. So you need outside money to support them. And that's why the tourism, and that's why I think the food price, as much as a lot of businesses are going to complain about it, it's going to bring more people here that we need from outside the area. And that's it.
Yeah,
Todd, Elena, I appreciate the point you just made about potential survey questions, because it relates well to what Michael just said about the blank response of a business owner when they get a survey saying, how can we help you? And perhaps with your survey, rather than ask that open question, you can think ahead of time, or what are the services I think I could offer?
Yeah.
And then literally ask them, could this help you? Could this help you? Could this help you?
Yeah.
Obviously being careful what you put on that list, because if the response comes back, heck yeah, then we gotta make sure we're in a position to actually deliver. But perhaps that way they can think, oh, I didn't even realize the city could do that
for them. And I think too, I went to the new physical therapy open house and had some great conversations with their marketing people, and they're all about community engagement. And it's like, here's a business that's ready to support all these other businesses. And how can we like connect these, like these home-based businesses that responded to my thing and said, she wants to offer pro bono coaching. She wants to help minority businesses with free services. She's like running all this amazing copywriting services, and she's written up in four. She's this huge business and is ready to like help. So how do we kind of get the synergy going there? Like almost bringing together, like doing pop-ups within other businesses, I think can be kind of cool too. Like, could we bring a couple home-based businesses into the storefronts? Can we get the home-based businesses to a lavender farm or those kinds of things? I think would be kind of cool. I think there's opportunity to maybe do like, not a job fair, but you know, people from MISO, people from Small Business Development, people from Mercy Corps, get all these people together in one spot, and so people can kind of come and have like a, you know, a resource event will be fun as well.
I think you knowing and getting to know all the businesses will go a long way, because you'll know like Shannon's really good at this, is connecting.
Yeah,
businesses with each other, like, oh, you know, this person can help you with that, and so you'll be able to, you know, if they say something, oh, I know someone that can help you with that.
Yeah,
so you've gotten to know everybody.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know if we can do a job board, or I mean, there's only gonna be little things that we can start to do, but it's like, okay, once I start to get a pulse on what some of these businesses need, I mean, I think that we're in a pandemic recovery phase right now. From the data that I'm getting on these grant applications is that everybody is really struggling. And so, you know, yeah, I think it's support them first, and then I don't know. Do you guys agree that I think this larger conversation too would connect really well with the Highway 43 project?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me think of a question too, is transportation, because I think a lot of people struggling to get employees or business, the restaurants where a lot of people take public transportation.
Yeah.
Employees and they
Yeah.
So minimal.
Yeah. I live in Oregon City, and I'm just like, I don't want to. It could be great if I could take a bus, but I can't. It would take me 40 minutes.
It would take you.
Yeah. So Westland at one point was looking into a shuttle service similar to what like Forest Grove has a shuttle.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So something like that would be something maybe EDC could look into again.
Yeah.
We're looking into that at one point.
Yeah.
And I've seen these smaller businesses supporting each other and integrating, and we've seen the coffee shops that are selling products from small business owners, whether it's flowers or candles, you know, whatever it is. I think there's a way to support that as well.
Yes.
And really make that more cohesive and encouraging that.
Yeah, I like the idea. Like, this business owner was like, I just wanted to get his brochures and cards up. So, because he's also in a pocket, he's not on Bland Main Street, so he's up in one of those weird pockets. It's like, okay, is there a little bulletin board somewhere else, or could he get his brochures or cards in the storefront of somewhere where you know somebody could see him? But
I was wondering if I could speak. It's great to hear, and that I used to work for Graymore Development, and I can hear that one of Graymore's tenants is actually in the audience. And I think inviting Barry would be great, or if one of his team members, to this meeting, because he has Westland Central Village, which I help assist managing that property, and then Lakeview Village, where you are currently at. He's a developer as well, his company is, and then they also do property management as well. So touching base with him, it's groundbreaking in his ideas and the way in which he looks at development. If you guys wanted to pick his brain, call him up and ask him to a meeting. The other thing I would do is also utilize the space that's vacant right now. Do these pop-ups in these spaces of business education or whatever you want to do, then also show the space. So then people who come around kind of go, wow, this is a nice space. I didn't even know it was here. Sure. So that could help as well for that type of development. Bringing brokers in constantly, because that's what they've got to fill these spaces for those landlords, for those investors, bringing brokers to the meetings and see what's going to drive them here to keep putting businesses in these empty spaces would be great. Westland Central Village, I know that they have a newsletter that goes out, so you guys could also talk to Barry about adding information to that, and then that could help surge whatever else you guys want to pivot off of. And again, he's right off the highway right there. So please utilize him. I know that when I was at these meetings, I was screaming and yelling like, utilize us, please. But I appreciate being in the audience and listening. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's awesome. Yeah, I had this fun idea where I was like, let's do something in the empty McDonald's. I think I told Shatrine or something. I was like, let's do a little workshop and get people down there and make it really fun. And it's that same concept. That's what we did in Vermont when we were a part of Trouble Storm Irene, and we were all flooded, and everything was just like, the whole town was really hit. But then to bring energy back in again, we had people in empty spaces to kind of reimagine the downtown. So I think that's a great idea. It kind of links to like what Michael was saying too, about like, what are the empty spots? What's going on with these empty, you know, developable areas? So yeah. Oh, so many projects. I just get overwhelmed. No, I don't. I get excited about it. I think, I need support from other departments in order to get like a business map and to do like, you know, I need help with from planning to do certain things as well. But yeah.
I used to work at the Small Business Development Center.
Mm.
If you ever need help with putting the education part of it, I'm more than happy to help.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Love to do that. Oh, do we have anything else on the highway? I know we've kind of circled around, but we've come back to it. Is there anything else about Highway 43 to talk about tonight? I know we just kind of have started it. Items of interest from EDC members. I have a couple things, but is there anyone that has anything they'd like to ask here? We kind of did that with your questions in your survey, but is there anything else for that? I did attend the Clackamas EDC, and it's always the fourth Wednesday of the month, so I usually attend it 2 weeks before this meeting. We talked a lot about supporting agriculture. Clackamas County, of course, has a lot more, but we do have some agriculture in West Lynn. We have, you know, Christmas tree farms. We have some flower farms. I mean, there's quite a few of those businesses. And what they really talked about was bringing in funding, but also really supporting businesses who are trying to do that vertical integration that you were just talking about. Because we're losing in Clackamas County the smaller farms. They're selling them, they're retiring, their families are not taking them over. So we're losing them. And they're either going to redevelopment, which there's a need, but it's a real concern that we're losing by not supporting the family-owned farms, we're losing them. So they talked about doing things like the tulip farms. You know, we've all been to the tulip festival. You go, you spend your $20, your kids ride a ride if you have kids, you take pictures in front of the flowers. They have done a really nice job of bringing in, it's an event. It's not just go pick some tulips. It's ride the rides. Now there's there's beer, there's just a little bit of everything. And so are there ways we can support our farms and help them with that? And that's actually what we were kind of just talking about. Economic wise, Clackamas County unemployment has really improved. It's down to 3.6%, which is what it was before the pandemic. So really doing a great job with that, but still
many businesses are not able to hire, and where we're lagging is in the hospitality and leisure areas, that they're still short staffed. And we talked about that, that that's still a huge need. Manufacturing is lagging a little bit as well, but transportation, construction, I don't know if anyone in here is in construction. Yes, so you know that trying to getting on a contractor's list is there's a long wait list for any contractors. And so construction has really, that didn't really go away during the pandemic. People decided to
build home offices,
remodel. You know, a lot of, if you were in that area, then actually did pretty well. So that rebounded pretty quickly. So that's all I had from that meeting. The next meeting, we will be talking about short-term rentals and hospitality in more detail. So I hope to have that to share. Because I know it's limited in West Lynn, very limited. You have to live on the property in order to do a short-term rental. So that's why we don't have any vacation rentals. We have a few. We have a few, but it's very limited what we can do. And I know just from real estate, people come in, they want to be able to stay in the area. There are a lot of options, so.
We have to work on an ADU.
Yes.
What's ADU?
ADU would be another
accessory dwelling unit.
Oh.
So a little granite flat. Sure. Right now, you could do something with your basement if your HOA allows it. If you're living in an area with an HOA, you have to, HOA rules can be a little restrictive, but.
So you can do it. It's just our rules. If you do it, you have to do all the street improvements that go along with it right now. And so that's what we would like to remove, is that barrier of having to do build sidewalks in front of your house just to add a
one sidewalk. Yeah. It's a little prohibitive.
How's the ADU, I'm sorry, fit into having short term rentals, or you know, the property owner can be on their property and then rent their house?
Rent the back room or whatever.
Or rent the ADU and be in the front house.
Okay. Right. You have to be on the property for, I believe it's 270 days out of the year. So that is also a little more restrictive.
Who convenes the Clackamas County? Is that related to like Clackamas County commissioners?
They are part of it. It's
Is this the round table that you attend?
This is the Economic Development Commission. It's called the commission.
It's part of the county.
Yeah, it's part of the county. Right. Okay. And so we often have the county commissioner comes and speaks. Public is invited. It's the 4th Wednesday of the month, 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I just have it posted now on the YouTube page, so I actually listened to the last
one. Yeah. I love the fact it's not in person right now, because it's 7:30. I can get up to my office pretty quickly versus driving to the county office. But
there's a very cool, I just got, I don't know if you're familiar with the Oregon City Business Alliance. Have you heard about that organization? Mm-hmm. I just got on their newsletter, Chris forwarded something to me, but the next event on May 24th, they're doing a free webinar you can join, but the luncheon sounds fun. But they're talking, it's all about tourism, and it sounded really good. There was 2 speakers. One was like their tourism specialist, but another, I don't know. Can you remember who the first speaker is?
No, he's going to talk about business, helping businesses somehow.
I'm going to try to attend that. So
sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. If I have juicy information, I'll share it at the next meet.
Great. Anyone else have anything they want to add?
I guess we're getting to 7:30. I don't know how strict you guys normally are. Do you cut it right at 7:30 or?
Anything 7:30.
Oh, the only thing I would say that I thought of is that normally EDC is responsible for reviewing the Clackamas County tourism grants, and I don't know if they stopped doing them for during COVID, but I don't know if they are doing those again, so maybe if you can check with the county if they're going to ever bring back the tourism grants, because the city, the money comes from the county, but the city distributes the funds, so that's why EDC usually.
You review the application?
The application.
Oh, interesting.
Give out, like, it's like usually like $25,000 or something that we have to give out.
Shen, I do have a question regarding tax based development. It's kind of inevitable that the Stafford Triangle is going to be developed. And it seems to me like we really have not really, I don't know, I haven't been following a bit. What can we be starting a position for? I mean, we're sending people work to work hotel right now, stuff like that. What can we do that we with limited space now? I mean, it's certainly an error.
Chris talked about this last
time. I appreciate you saying that, John.
Legacy was buying up all the stuff, which is true. They owned like so much of that property by the
Lesher Farms.
I was like, what's one have no money to buy any?
Alina, you remember being gracious, but I mean, that's fine for your question. Have that to answer on the number.
Can you guys, sorry to interrupt. Russell, can you hear anything? It sounds like the microphone's just been moved or something like that.
I can barely, it sounded like Todd was too far away from it. I could hear everybody else.
Need your teacher board.
Is this better, Russell?
Yeah, awesome.
The other committees have been on. They're pretty gracious about ending in 16 to 90 minutes, and I want to respect people's time and try to stay close to all whenever we can.
Yeah, I think it's good to kind of wrap it up, but I feel like I'm just excited about sort of this energy, and I hope that we can. I think it'd be great to, again, sort of take it in chunks, and so that we can get things done, and then not feel like we're just talking about a million different things. And I'm still learning of the flow of my relationship with council versus, you know, your relationship with council and how that works. And I think Todd and I touched on this briefly, but I think it'd be fun to get like a system down where there is sort of constant communication going between council and the EDC so that we stay on track, because my work is guided by council and I work directly with John. But you guys have great ideas too. So, you know, either I'm giving a quick little summary that Todd takes to council, or, you know, we're constantly, you know, I read the report, and I know that was one of the struggles from last year, is not knowing what to do. So you kind of flail around, and everybody's really smart and interesting, but it ultimately comes back to, if we have new ideas that have to get approved by council. So trying to, I'm kind of like the conduit, like I'm just like listening to everybody right now, not trying to duplicate things or step on anybody's toes, but how can I support Rebecca at Historical Main Street? How can I support Shatrine? How can I come up with new ideas too, but also really just be sort of liaison of the city so that the red tape gets easier? I just want the experience. I just want it to be start to get up. It's fun and easy and good to do business here, you know? And then we've got this committee that's active and doing things as well, so.
Can I ask a question? And you need direction because you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And from what I'm understanding, John has asked you to be, you know, topics really business support, which is important.
Yeah.
For all businesses.
Yeah.
Is this what the Economic Development Committee is? That what we're really, is that what we're chartered to do or asked to do? And that's, I mean, doesn't mean we don't. That's great. But then, do we have a business support committee? Or whatever. It's more like the Chamber of Commerce or like the city saying we're here to support business and your tax dollars at work. But is that really what this committee is right now?
Yeah.
And so that's a question I have.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And we should talk about it over time.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Shannon's know.
Thank you for that question, John. And I'll respond to it with my 1 year experience on council and say, in all sincerity, this committee can be what it be. And I'm not saying that to be flippant, I mean dead serious, because I don't think the council has a clear sense of what they want you to do. So I think you're going to be whatever you choose to be, honestly. with regard to business support, it makes sense to me that that would be your initial focus because of what our business has been through over the past 2 years. But
yeah.
No, there is not a separate business support. And even though our name is economic development, I would hope that this body would embrace both roles going forward. And just because we're involved with some business support stuff now does not mean that we don't do economic development. That is our name, our mission. And I want you all to feel empowered to suggest whatever you want this group to do. And in the spirit of that, I'm a big believer in value added, and I don't want to waste any of your time. And if you ever feel like this body is a waste of your time, we're just talking and not doing anything, I want to know that. And I suspect Alina wants to know that too. Because I want to make sure that you all feel like this is a worthwhile endeavor, that it's worth your time and it really benefits the city. So I encourage you to not be shy about it.
I know we've gone over in time, but I'm glad we were able to give some extra time to get to know you and your goals. And I think that's important. We did not get to business grants. Should we move that to the next meeting?
I can just speak briefly. I mean, I think you actually know more based on the emails that I've sent, because this was drafted prior to me getting out the grant. So the next two rounds of grants, I think I will be bringing those to your attention and maybe asking for help with some language on those. This first one was just advised that it was going to be similar language to the 2021 grants,
so just approving them.
We just pushed it out. Mm-hmm. But as far as the language for the facade grant and then the technical marketing grant, that's something I think I could get your help on. There's a few other things that I think maybe I'll check in with you before the next meeting that I want to sort of put on the agenda, new things, kind of put away these other things and table them for when we get there. But just so I don't lose it, I just want to go back to that point about, I really want to get clear on that part about the committee versus council, because it's my understanding that, you know, council does direct the work of the committee.
In theory.
Okay. So, but I think if we come up with new ideas, we can just sort of, this is what we're actively working on. Then there's all these great ideas. Is maybe I'll just make a list of everything that's come up after every meeting. And it's like, well, are we going to take this on? We have to run it by council then, you know, have a flow.
I will tell you, in my year with council folks, the community advisory groups that have forged a relationship with the council have been the ones that came to us and directly said, I want to do this. And it was kind of the squeaky wheel gets the grease kind of thing to be asked. Like, oh, okay. So because they said that, so I'm not telling you, you know, attack, bow, go, but honestly, if you wait for the council to give you direction, you're going to be waiting.
Yeah.
So take the reins.
Yeah.
And go.
I think the issue with that, what that stems from, is staff, right? So staff cannot work on anything that that council doesn't approve, right? So stuff like the Highway 43 would require a lot of planning staff. So if council didn't already approve that, that is what should work on, because it's going to take too much staff time. Since this is your job now, it's going to be easier, because before we had a planner as our liaison, and so he couldn't do anything that staff didn't direct him to do.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
All right. That council didn't tell him to do. So that's where I think that is.
One quick thing. I'm sorry about the COVID money, since you asked. Now, the city gets $5.9 million in the COVID money. The city's in no hurry to decide how to spend that money, because we have years in which to decide, and we want to make sure we do it right. But the one thing I do want to tell you all, so you can appreciate this, is the one immediate step that we pressed for was, in nearly $1 million of that now is being spent. And it's specifically on business support and economic development. That's because we pressed for that. So out of that $5.9 million, $5 million of roughly still sitting. Almost $1 million of it is at work. And that includes the grants that you just referred to. And so maybe, Alina, something that might be nice to do for an upcoming meeting, because I don't have it on the top of my hand, but it's in my notes. But if we could report to that group of that almost $1 million in ARPA money, federal relief money that's being spent, how's that broken down into those various pieces? It'd be good for this group to know how the city's already committed to spending that money. And that largely came from staff recommendations, and we approved and said, yes, go. So make that happen. And of that, almost $1,250,000, I think, of these grants that you're speaking to here, but I'd love for this group to see the rest.
And that's the council packet. I was that last page that it's all tourism and economic development. I'll bring that to the next meeting. I'll include it in the packet. But then with that also, it also connects to some of the conversations that we've already had. So then we can see how, again, I kind of want to keep you guys plugged into how you can help me. I mean, I know you're volunteers, you have a lot of time, but like, okay, like these are bigger topics, these larger projects that you're talking about at the back of the council packet. Wayfaring signage, tourism brochures, all this other stuff. But yeah, if that's actively where the money's going this year, then that's probably what we should focus on. But then these other things, I think too, like I should make a list of what these other bigger projects and say, do we want to take this on? Is this something that, you know, we're excited about and we think works? Take it to council and say, I don't know.
Okay.
I think that that's a good plan.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yes. Thanks for having me. Thanks for not having me, but supporting me. I'm excited. It's a lot, but it's going well. And I think there's some fun, exciting work to do. And I, again, appreciate the comment about clarifying when it's sort of business support versus economic development. And I think it's just kind of a conversation. I've actually had some ideas about continuing to clarify that just constantly with John, because it's there's only so much I can do too. And if they want me to manage the business licensing piece and we're trying to figure out the rules there, then it could suddenly just be doing a lot of, you know, administration and work in the city. But
yeah, the bigger picture.
We love too. The bigger picture too. Right. Yeah.
Russell.
I was saying I gotta go. I didn't want to just leave without saying goodbye.
Well, yeah. We are adjourning.
Yeah.
So thank you, Russell, for coming in. And Josh, welcome. We're glad you're here.
Thanks.
Thank you to everyone that came in person and on the screen.
All right, thanks, Sam.
Yeah, thank you,
everyone. I close the recording?
Oh, yeah.
Ask your question. I appreciate you guys letting me crash the meeting, but
it's protocol.
Like, so it was really like my running partner fans.
That's a good question.
What's that? Being very reputation.
Pretty important.
Very, very. Just need to crash again.